the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Here's the agenda. Here's the layout today. We've got Brett Ciancia coming out of the first break up in Pennsylvania. Pick six previews, college football aficionado. You know him. You've heard him on this show a bunch, and he's very good. That'll be in about 15 minutes or so. Top of hour two, down to the boot, down to Louisiana. Blake Ruffino checks in with us. That's also every Wednesday. And I added someone. I added Coach Brian Driscoll. He handles the Notre Dame site for Sports Illustrated. He knows that topic inside and out. Knows it quite well from a strategic point of view, from a personnel point of view, from a grading and critique point of view. He's very good. And I did. I added him. And he is at the top of our number three. We've got that Notre Dame-Wisconsin game coming up in Chicago on Saturday. That's a big game. Now, I don't think either team's going to be in the national championship conversation, but that is a big game. I've got that game in my two slot for this weekend, only behind that Arkansas and Aggie game. F&M Bank Hotline, 615-844-5600. If you'd like to dial us up at any point, I think I was originally right. Black was ghosting the show. Then he called us after about a couple of months of me worrying. He called us, said, Bill, I'm fine, man. It's the non-playing portion of the season. It's what I do. And when I do call in, I can put on my church shoes and I can get 50 points anytime I want. And I don't have to prepare for it. And I believe him. No, I believe him. But he's ghosted us ever since then. And now we're in the playing portion of the season. And no, do not come at me. Bill Black's not calling because the Buckeyes lost to Oregon. Black don't play that, man. That is not what he does, okay? He does not shy away because of bad news. That's not his game. Not at all. So don't bring that to the table. That's not what he's doing. But I do worry that Black is ghosting the show. And he is on the Mount Rushmore, as you know. So that worries me. That worries me a bit. So you got the hotline number on Twitter, at Bill is King. And if you want to email the show, that works. You can email billisking7@gmail.com. Broadcasting from the Wilco kiosk location, presented by Strike and Spare. We call it the Strike and Spare Studios. I am in the kiosk location, though, which is not the main near downtown 615 location. I'm south. If you draw a line south of the downtown 615, eventually you run into me. Yeah, just draw a line there, and eventually you'll hit the kiosk location of the show. Pac-12 Dave down there on the Emerald Coast checking in this morning. They are good folks. They have the Southern Gentlemen's Club on Saturdays, and we've got a show on the stations down there. Very much appreciated. And he says, Bill, we're still waiting on those so-called cooler temps down here on the Emerald Coast. Here, we are expecting, and let me pull this up. Let me pull this up just to make sure I am not lying to you. Tonight, we are expected to get overnight into the high 40s. And the same for Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I'm talking about the lows. The highs are up in the 70s or low 80s, but at night we're dipping down. Frankly, I like that. I like the change a little bit. Now, I'm a warm weather guy in general. All right? I'm not a guy that wants to go somewhere where it snows a bunch. That ain't my thing. I like the snow. No, I enjoy the snow. I just don't want it a lot. Just a little bit here and there. We hardly ever. We don't get one good snow a year here. But I don't want to be somewhere where it's a constant item. I've never lived somewhere like that. And so I like the climate the way it is here, and I like the changes we get. It's not one particular temperature that you have to endure like Allen down there in Tampa. It's always hot where he is. And Perry Mason down in Florida. Jim in Jupiter. Joe down in Boca. All our friends down there. Bunches of them. And Frankie down there in Fort Myers. Just to name a few. Where they are, it pretty much just stays cooking, right? I mean, it just cooks year-round. And, hey, a lot of people love that. And I enjoy that, too. I just don't want it all the time. I like the changes. So, yeah, we are expecting around these parts, y'all, to get a lot cooler at night. I'll tell you what I love. I love maybe crack your window and it gets really cool while you're sleeping. Oh, I love that. That's not a college football topic. I know, but that's an awesome feeling. Sleep in that environment and then get up and come and do the show. That is awesome. That's a good. I know that's a pretty simplistic lifestyle, but that makes me happy right there. That gets me going. That absolutely gets me going. As far as the news, there's really nothing. Is there anything news-wise? I don't think so. As we're hitting Wednesday, week 4 of the college football season. And everything is pretty much steady. Everything is pretty much on target as we progress into the playing portion of the college football season. Got some good games this weekend. Jeff, too, was pointing out yesterday that coming up, and I believe that would be next week, that the schedule gets even more sexy as we head in there, because next week we have the Alabama Ole Miss game and we have the Cincinnati Notre Dame game. Now, that's just to name a few. That's just naming a couple of them. And like I mentioned, Brian Driscoll will be with us later, top of hour number 3. But Notre Dame hasn't even hit the juicy part, the tough part of their schedule yet. Yeah, here it is, Jeff, too. I pulled it up. Ole Miss, Alabama. Ole Miss has to go to Alabama. Now, that is a week from this Saturday. Cincinnati at Notre Dame. Arkansas, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Auburn, LSU as well. That's pretty good. That's pretty sexy for a week from now. No fan down in Central Florida says, Bill, it's actually 72 down there. For them, that's cool. 72 for them is, that's a general breeze. That's my, I've got a daughter living down there now, in the Tampa St. Pete area. Moved down there a couple of weeks ago and loves it. Sends a picture. I think she sends a picture from the beach every day. Maybe not every day, but it seems like it. She's teasing us. Almost every day I get a picture of, hey, this is what I'm doing. It's the beach, and it's the water, and it's nice, and it's all good. Down there in the beautiful Sunshine State. Alan in Tampa says, Bill, the weather changes down here. It's hot, it rains, and then it gets hotter. Yeah, the steamy humidity is brutal. That's the part that gets me. And the other thing, and I'm not trying to be too gross here, but I'm a sweater. I sweat. I'm sorry. I just, if I walked out, if my mailbox was 20 feet from the house, which it isn't, but let's just say it was, I would sweat on the way to the mailbox. That's just me. That's my DNA. That's the way I'm wired. Alan is actually working in Hogtown this morning, though. And that would be Gainesville. And he says it's 73. Oh, Georgia Dog down on the Emerald Coast says, Bill, it's going to get down to 52 here for the low. I did not know that. Josh in London, Ohio. Bill, you want some news? C.J. Stroud couldn't hit the broadside of Charlie Weiss. He's the best of both Todd Beckman and Joe Bowserman. Oh, I've seen people debate about whether or not Ohio State needs to give one of the other quarterbacks the ball and at least get some reps there. And I don't know where Ryan Day is with that. Most quarterback guys are pretty stubborn. Doesn't mean that they don't eventually make moves, because you have to sometimes. But that's a young quarterback. You know, he's a redshirt freshman that is getting his first real starting college football reps. And those reps are invaluable. Now, I don't know what the end game is going to be, but I've seen some complaining, not only when it comes to the defense, but the quarterback play at Ohio State, too. I have seen some complaining. Jim and Jupiter says, Bill, I'm a sweater, too. Thanks. We have more than one dude who sweats here on the show. We'll take the break. Brett Cianci. If you have any questions for him, tweet me, at Bill is King. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Give yourself plenty of extra travel time out here this morning with the weather moving into the Nashville metro area. Traffic still moving right now. I-40 coming past the airport as you come through Hermitage, Donaldson, Murfreesboro, Pike, and Bell Road. They're on the scene of a crash at that intersection, and also in Antioch, there's a wreck at Rule Hill Road at Murfreesboro, Pike. Oktoberfest at Obergatlinburg, September 24th through October 31st. Log on to obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
If you're tired of the same old company holiday party or would like to reward your team with a fun night out, then Strike and Spare Family Fun Center is the place to be. Strike and Spare Family Fun Center specializes in group events, no matter how big or small. So contact the locations in Tusculum, Donelson, Hermitage, Murfreesboro, or Hendersonville to reserve your event. Plus, Hendersonville and Murfreesboro offers bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. Visit them online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare Family Fun Center, where fun is bowling. The Pressure's On is on the air reminding all Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This proud salute is brought to you by The Pressure's On, serving the area for 3 years with quality painting and pressure washing service, offering 15% military and 10% senior discounts. Call 931-257-8602. That's 931-257-8602. That's The Pressure's On. Thanking all of our troops, veterans, and first responders. They're Americans who care. Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Mokara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins in the exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Mokara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Mokara Salon and Spa, relaxing you in 2021. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue downtown.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now. Or the puppy gets it. He doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Brett Cianci, a pick six previews on Wednesdays. And Brett, we all have our thoughts before the season begins. The non-playing portion of the season, we all formulate our thoughts on the overall college football world, the individual teams, the leagues, etc. Then we get a few games in and we reanalyze. We're three games in, heading to week four. And I want to ask you, what are your thoughts now as opposed to what they were?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Yeah, I think 3 weeks in, it's been exciting seeing stadiums filled up, tailgates filled up. Also been exciting seeing that dynasty tier of teams, the teams that win their conferences almost every year, look beatable. Alabama was tested by Florida last Saturday there in the Swamp, really tested. It was a one-score game and came down to the last possession. Of course, Clemson and Ohio State both took losses. Oklahoma was on the ropes against Nebraska. They look very beatable. Tulane had them within a score late in the game. So it's nice to see the return of some parity there. I think we're going to see some upsets down the road. Specific team-wise and conference-wise, I'm pretty upset with the Pac-12. I came into the year pretty high on Utah to win the South. On Washington as a top 15 team nationally. I had them second behind Oregon, but still I had them ranked high. And Arizona State I had ranked in my preseason poll, unlike the AP. And all three of those teams have disappointed so far, especially Utah. You saw their quarterback transferred out already after three games. It's a mess right now. So, a little disappointed with the Pac-12 overall. But, we can go team by team. But, yeah, it's been a fascinating start so far.
What about, and I'm randomly throwing some names out there, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and... How about Michigan State as surprises?
Yeah, so in the same sense, I'll admit I missed on some of those Pac-12 teams. I'll admit also that I did hit on some of these SEC West teams. I had Ole Miss ranked in my top 25, and the AP did not. And I had Arkansas right there at 27th. I mean, I was very high on these top five in the SEC West. So it's kind of coming true to what I thought would happen with Ole Miss. I thought, obviously, their offense was one of the best in the country. You're seeing that again. Matt Corral on an incredible pace already out of the gates. They're averaging like 55 points a game or something. But their defense made a huge step forward, too, and really shut down Louisville for three quarters. And we're going to see them tested down in the SEC. With Arkansas, I love what was happening there. A lot of momentum last year in the first year with Sam Pittman. I love his coordinator hires. I loved his authenticity as a head coach, as a motivator. Just a real guy. And I thought that was going to work down there with those fans and with that roster. And it's really clicking so far. So I did hit on those two. And with Michigan State, I know when you talk about predictions, it's all relative. It's all comparable. So when you compare my preseason book to the other preseason publications out there, I was the highest on Michigan State. Now, highest in quotes, I had them fifth in the Big Ten East, but most people had them sixth or dead last. I liked what they did with the transfer portal. It was an experiment year under Mel Tucker, and so far it's clicking. Their transfers look incredible. It's all coming together. This Frankenstein roster is cobbled together. It's looking nice. So far, so good.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate, Kenneth Walker, the running back there, who is running up and down the field, is a Memphis kid, Arlington, Tennessee. But the Memphis area, and he was at Wake Forest. You were talking about transfers. He transferred in from Wake, and he is tearing it up. I don't know if he's a household name yet, but he ought to be soon.
Oh, I agree. He definitely should. And it's important to realize the context within Michigan State where, for a decade under Mark D'Antonio, they really struggled to score. They struggled to move the ball. They were defense first, and that won them a lot of games. So when I turn on the opener there against Northwestern, and they're running up and down the field and putting a ton of points on a Pat Fitzgerald defense, it really opened my eyes a bit. And specifically to Walker and the run game, you go back Michigan State before they came into this season, the last 11 games, and this is a crazy stat. I checked it twice. Don't worry. The last 11 games before this season, their running backs hadn't ran for a touchdown. No running back rushing touchdown in 11 games. And here you have in the opener, Kenneth Walker, not only did he score, he ran for four of them himself. So it's a whole new look, Michigan State, and that's not just figurative, it's literal. They had 41 transfers in. It's a whole completely new roster, and it's clicking. So look at them, a big win here. They play Nebraska here Saturday. If they win, they should definitely be ranked and ranked high. So they look like a legit team.
Your thoughts on how pedestrian Clemson looks offensively?
Yeah, that's definitely a shock. Now, I had Clemson about sixth in my preseason poll, which was the lowest out there, the only book out there to not have them in the playoff. And, of course, I got a lot of flack for that. But I love their defense. But I had said, hey, I think they're going to lose to Georgia right out of the gates. And there's no guarantee that this changing of the guard at quarterback is going to hit. They've been extremely lucky or successful, we'll say, going from Taj Boyd to Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it's been elite quarterback play for a decade. So there's no guarantee that this one would have clicked too. And a lot of it isn't on him too. It's the offensive line. And, they were the tops in the country in 2018 and 2019 in rushing yards per carry, number one. Last year, you saw some flaws there. They fell all the way to 75th in yards per carry. Couldn't establish that run game on big opponents like Notre Dame. And now really all of that's breaking down. I never thought it'd be this poor, though. They're dead last in the ACC in chunk plays and 10-plus yard plays. So that just kind of paints the picture. They're stuck in the mud, and I never thought it'd be this bad.
Yeah, and I mentioned it on the show, but Dabo Swinney the other day in a quote said, look, guys, this is what we are. This is who we've got. And it sounded like he was sending a message, we may not be real sexy offensively this year.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like almost not a white flag quote, but just kind of a red alert almost. Like, hey, yeah, we might have some issues this year. Another quote he had really caught my eye, too, before that Georgia game and really made me like my Georgia pick. He was saying, yeah, it was Saturday, we're going to be rotating centers. And I just thought to myself, man, I get maybe rotating quarterbacks, but the center is the quarterback of that offensive line. And I thought that'd be a flaw against Georgia's front seven. So Yeah, it looks like they have some struggles. Now, I wish it was a more competitive league. You know, if they were having these kind of struggles and if they were placed in the SEC West, they'd take four losses this year. Here they are in the ACC and a down year at that, where the usuals that might have contended, like a Florida State or a Miami, even a Virginia Tech, they took a loss. So, and even teams like NC State, Boston College lost their quarterback. It's a shame that the ACC is down. They could have tagged Clemson with some losses, but we'll see. I don't think they survive unscathed.
When you look at Alabama, where do you see the concerns?
Well, yeah, I think a week ago I'd have said there's no concerns. It looks like 2020 again. It's the saving machine rolling on. The concern after watching them in the swamp, and yes, they built a nice lead, but first off, they couldn't finish Florida off for four quarters. They let them back in the game. I see some breakdowns on defense, especially in the run game, where I think they gave up 250 yards rushing. That's just unheard of against a Saban defense. Rarely does a team even scratch 100, but to rattle off 250, and it wasn't a fluke. I mean, they were overpowering them. So for what I thought was the strength of Alabama this year was going to be defense first. Their front seven, extremely loaded and tough, really was pushed around a bit by Florida. So that's going to be a concern in such a tough conference, the hardest division in college football for sure, no doubt. So, yeah, they look human. I know we're talking about several different teams, but and I bet anyone else in the country would take what Alabama has. But, yeah, they look human. They don't look like the invincible 2020 team. So we'll see if somebody can outscore them.
Georgia Dog on the Emerald Coast says, ask Brett about Georgia, and it sounds like more of those receivers are starting to get healthy.
Yeah, that's great news for them. I want to get JT Daniels more healthy and back into the lineup there. They took care of South Carolina Saturday, kind of a snoozer, and that's good news because sometimes when you go out there and play South Carolina, it's not a snoozer and they have you on upset watch. So they did what they're supposed to do ever since the Clemson win in the opener. Stetson Bennett has played fine against a couple inferior opponents. They get another one this week. So, you know, get those receivers healthy, get that offense humming again. I know they're in the top 10 of yards per play on offense, so that's encouraging. But, yeah, get those receivers healthy and more into SEC play, and I still like my SEC chance pick, Georgia.
John down in Alabama, ask Brett about Florida State and if he thinks Mike Norvell has lost this team.
Man, I can't believe how low it's gotten at Florida State. Really, it shocks me each year. It gets worse. I keep thinking they've hit rock bottom, and it keeps digging deeper. You know, you talk about a program that went undefeated and won a national title 7 years ago, and was in the playoffs 6 years ago in the opener, the opening playoff bracket. So just to see a perennial powerhouse program falling down here, but we're talking about Kansas, Duke, Arizona level right now with Florida State. I mean, they're like 61st in my game grader out of 65 Power 5 teams. It's just pathetic. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt last year coming in a pandemic year. You know, all the – you've heard the term a lot, unprecedented, all that stuff. But I thought that by now in 2021, they looked a little bit more clean on both sides of the ball. Then you start to hear some rumblings of locker room, and I don't want to get into that stuff, but it just doesn't look great for Florida State right now, and it's a shock.
Josh up in London, Ohio, ask Brett why he thinks Ohio State's defense is struggling so much.
Yeah, that along with Clemson's offense, you know, whenever you see these dynasty teams struggling like this, it's shocking because we've been so conditioned in the last 5 years that these teams are all perfect within their leagues and they're flawless machines. But, yeah, there's issues at Ohio State defensively. And really, when you look at it, 2019 was more the exception than the rule at Ohio State when you look at the defense. I thought it was the opposite where, hey, 2018 was just a breakdown, and 2019 was special with Chase Young and all those first-round picks. But now, no, it's the opposite because in 18 and in 20, they struggled defensively. It was covered up by Heisman and NFL quarterbacks, Dwayne Haskins throwing for 50 touchdowns in 18, and Justin Fields playing almost perfect last year in 20. But now you have more defensive flaws, except that you don't have a perfect offense right now. It's young, it's growing. I'm sure by December it'll be humming on all cylinders, but they don't have the offense to mask it anymore. So you saw that against Oregon. They were outscored. And even against Tulsa, they really couldn't pull away. It was the offense was stuck in the mud for a bit. So what we have here is the same old struggling defense, but without an elite top three offense to cover that up, cover those flaws up. And I don't know what it is. I mean, sometimes it's player speed. The linebackers seem a little slow on tape, and you know, maybe it's scheme. I know that they're struggling to get pressure on the quarterback. You know, they have a lot of five stars and NFLers up there. So I think it's a mix of player and scheme and the whole thing coming together.
Brett Ciancia with us. And John also wanted to know about Norvell's contract. He's in year two. He's making, let's just say he's making an average of $4 million a year, and I think that's about right. And he's got a six-year deal. I don't know how it reads because I haven't looked lately in the last X number of weeks or whatever. But if they owed him for the rest of the contract, that would be three, four, five, six. That'd be four more years. And at $4 million, that'd be about $15-16 million bucks. Now, again, I don't know. Sometimes, Brett, those contracts read, here's what happens if we terminate you in this certain year, and it's not exactly the salary. But if it is the salary, they owe him a bunch of money, and I don't know if there's any mood down there to go ahead and pay a guy off year two just like they did Willie Taggart. I don't think they want to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, over the years, I've kind of become numb to the contract numbers. I mean, you've seen it at powerhouse programs, you've seen it at struggling programs. I mean, I think Kansas is still paying Charlie Weiss down there. I mean, that contract expiration. And then, you know, that's not really a powerhouse. I get that. But in the powerhouse category, I think Nebraska is still paying Bo Pelini and Mike Riley. And, I don't know. I just think that when they want someone gone, these programs, they find a way. And I don't know. So I wouldn't get too hung up on the contract details unless there's a literal non-compete or something. I don't know. But I don't know that much about the contract side, but if they want him gone, he's going to go.
Brett, we're down to about 2 minutes. Perry Mason down in Florida. Ask Brett his impression of the Gators after being a 15-point dog at home.
Yeah, well, you know, in my I voted in the FWAA top 16 poll. I moved Florida up. Let's put it that way. I was impressed the way they fought for four quarters. That place looked incredible. You know, they really established the ground game, like I mentioned, on Alabama's front. That was very impressive, 250-something yards. So I kept them right there with Clemson and Ohio State in that one-loss area around 10th through 12th. I'm impressed by them, way ahead of my preseason expectations. I had them ranked in the 20s just because I had some uncertainties of how they'd replace Trask and Pitts and Tony on an all-time offense, and to see if they could make those gains on defense. And I know they had the underlying blue-chip talent there on defense, but I wanted to see it come together. And yeah, Florida, really a nice transition right out of the gates. I know they took the loss to Alabama, but was that one of the more impressive losses you've seen? I hate to now be one of those people saying quality loss, but, I mean, I'm just watching these games, and you watch a team go toe-to-toe with Alabama for four quarters, and that's certainly nothing to hang your hat on. So I'm impressed with Florida, and we'll see if they can contend for the East now.
Brett, tell everybody how they can get your information.
Thank you, Bill. It's at Pick6Previews on Twitter, and looking forward to another slate this week. Enjoy.
Appreciate it, Brett. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Brett Ciancia, Pick6Previews every Wednesday. He's very thorough. Does his homework. Top of the hour, Blake Ruffino coming up from the boot. And top of hour three, Brian Driscoll, Notre Dame, Wisconsin. Soldier Field coming up here. Week four. College football. I tell you this every year, it goes fast. The season, you yearn for it, and then it gets there in blink of an eye, boom, it's gone. So enjoy it. Slow it down if you can. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good point. They're still trying to fill out paperwork on this crash 65 southbound just past Dickerson Pike before you get to Trinity Lane. It's got all the makings for a really busy morning because of the weather moving towards Nashville metro area. Give yourself extra time. OHP at Nolensville Pike. The fire department's being dispatched to a crash there with possible injuries. Oktoberfest at Obergatlinburg, September 24th through October 31st. Log on today, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
If you have roofing, siding, or gutter needs, A&R Roofing is your one-stop solution. A&R Roofing combines the small-town values you trust with the big-league quality required to get the job done right. If you have an old roof that needs replacing or one that has storm damage, A&R Roofing can provide you with a free inspection. They specialize in shingle roofs, metal roofs, flat roofing, and custom copper roofing. A&R Roofing can also take care of your siding needs, whether it's vinyl siding, hardy board, or board and batten. Call Bob at A&R Roofing, 615-389-1916.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kristen Chenoweth. When our service men and women return from war, they often carry wounds that the rest of us cannot see. Up to 1 in 5 veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And often, even the best treatment, including medication and therapy, they fall short. Sadly, more than 6,000 veterans die every year from suicide. Thanks to the life-saving power of the human-animal bond, professionally trained service dogs can help. But connecting a veteran with a well-trained service dog can be difficult. Wait lists are long, and training can cost tens of thousands of dollars. But service dogs can bring healing. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program, which provides dogs to veterans for free of charge. Let's help our veterans heal from the invisible wounds of war.
Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is serving up new summer hours and a fantastic summer menu. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the only place downtown for breakfast or lunch. Start your day with biscuits and gravy or some pimento toast, or order a Tennessee patty melt or some chicken hash for lunch. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes, located 5th Avenue, downtown in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Blake Ruffino, top of the hour down in Louisiana. And a little later, Brian Driscoll, top of hour three. We'll talk a little Fighting Irish, Wisconsin. Notre Dame's getting about, and that's as of yesterday. I've not looked this morning, but they were getting 5 to 6 points as the underdog in that matchup with Wisconsin. That's going to be a tough guy football game. And you could question how tough Notre Dame's been to date. Now, played their better game against Purdue. I'm not suggesting that means a ton yet. It might not. But they did improve. I still don't think it's what everybody expected out of the Irish. They have some shortcomings right now. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Wisconsin will be their best measurement to date as to exactly where they are. I do know that. Alec Whipple, Bob, welcome in.
Good morning, Bill. Well, hey, I just a quick plug for my buddy Wayman. I did talk with him yesterday. He was up walking around for several minutes. Of course, he was exhausted and says therapy, but he is doing well. So please donate to Wings for Wayman at the GoFundMe page.
That is, hey, Bill. Good news. Yeah, good news. More good news.
It is good news, Bill. Hey, you know, Bill, I had a conversation with Georgia Dog the other night, and we were talking about this. I said, look at the difference in Auburn, Penn State's offense, Michigan State. And this shows the importance of the coaching changes and what a coach can do for a club and for a program. And you look at, you know, I'll start with the Penn State with Mike Yurcich. You know, I don't think Penn State wins at Wisconsin, probably doesn't beat Auburn if they have Kirk Ciarrocca and Ricky Rainey as their coordinators. I just think that Yurcich, you know, against Wisconsin, he came out second half. He was stymied in the first half, trying different things. Came out the second half, took over the game. You know, he attacked their perimeter, opened them up a little bit, and then it was just he found out their safeties were charged the line of scrimmage, caught them how many times on the long pass plays. You know, he meticulously kept changing his tactics against Auburn. And kept the Auburn defense off balance to the tune that, you know, Penn State ran up almost 400 yards total offense in that game against a very, very excellent Auburn defense. And if you look at what Brian Harsin's done, everything I heard coming into the season was Auburn's going to be a pushover. You know, they don't have talent. They don't have this. They're undisciplined. But he has gone down there in his first year, Bill, and he is really, to me, that looks like the way they're playing. They look like a top 15 team to me. And look what Mel Tucker's done at Michigan State. I mean, I had my eye on them against Miami. I mean, you know, they're down at Miami, Bill. So they're going from a little bit cooler weather down into the heat. And they pretty much controlled that game. So I think that we talk a lot about these coaches. You know, we're talking about Norvell now. We've talked about other coaches, and I think it makes a difference. I think if you have the Jimmys and Joes, you still need that good, strong coaching staff to put you up over the top. You agree with me?
That's the way it's trending right now. It really is. And got to remember, Mel Tucker took a lot of heat leaving Colorado as rapidly as he did. And some thought, remember, Colorado offered the job to Luke Fickell, among others, first, and couldn't get him. And the Mel Tucker thing seemed a little bit odd, and frankly, it looks like he was a good hire.
Well, I think he's a very good hire. I mean, Michigan State has to be tough to recruit there, Bill. I don't see them. You know, I think D'Antonio did it for years by, you know, bringing kids along and developing kids. Because right. You're not, you know, it's not a destination, Bill.
And true.
I just think that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, you know, you look at Florida State, and I understand about Taggart, but at least Taggart had some talent. You know, when Norvell went in there, I mean, everything was a train wreck across the board. Everything, recruiting, locker room, player personnel. And I wouldn't be surprised his organization and the structure underneath him was messed up too. So I think, you know, in the case of Norvell, I wouldn't give up on him yet. I'd give him at least 2 to 3 years and see what he does. And I know that's hard for Florida State fans when you just won a title 7 years ago. But I really think coaching is important. But let me ask you this, Bill. If someone like Norvell fails, I mean, we've seen this with Fuentes. He goes to Vatech, runs into a lot of problems. Now Norvell. What do you think is cause of that? What's the primary reason for that?
Just for coaches failing?
Yeah, I mean, guys that look promising, look like they can't miss, and then they go into a bigger program, and it all falls apart.
It might be where they're better off at a mid-major type, and I'm not listing Virginia Tech as a mid-major, but coming from a Memphis in both cases, got to remember, Memphis was a perennial mediocre program before Fuente. My buddy Tommy West had that program and couldn't ever get it launched to the point where they wanted it. Anyways, I'll tell you what, I'll talk about it when we, there's the music, when we come back, I'll get into it a little bit. Bob.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Hey, yep. Everybody, don't forget, Wings for Wayman.
Alec Whipple Bob down there in the Sunshine State. He's relocating. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. A report of an accident out in Dixon County. It's just now coming in 40 eastbound. It looks like it's going to be just past 840 before you get to Kingston Springs on 40 going eastbound. Again, two cars involved. They are just inside Dixon County, headed towards Nashville. A car crashed up against a wall here. It's turned around backwards. It's a pickup truck on 40 westbound here at Briley Parkway. That's going to be on the west side of town. Really starting to get heavy now on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane as they clear that wreck just past Dickerson Pike. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Log on to GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. Simple Green is perfect for making your auto, RV, cycling, boating, and other sporting equipment look like new. Visit them at simplegreen.com.
Tomorrow, Thursday night football, the Carolina Panthers at home against the Houston Texans. Carolina an 8-point road favorite, the over-under 43. On Sunday, the Titans at home against the Colts. Tennessee a 5.5-point favorite, the over-under 48. Baseball, the Braves and Diamondbacks tonight. Atlanta minus 175 on the money line. Arizona at plus 165, the over-under 9. Ian Anderson getting the start against Merrill Kelly. After being postponed, the trilogy fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder will take place on October 9th. Fury, who won the last fight between the two back in February 2020, comes in the favorite at minus 325, Wilder at plus 230. For VSiN.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For this morning, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms are likely today. Highs near 67, partly cloudy tonight, lows near 50. Sunshine for Thursday, high 70. Thursday night, clear skies, lows 41. Sunshine for Friday, high 75. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Get closer to Bill King, 615-844-5600.
Back to what Aliquippa Bob was talking about. Fuente and Norvell both came from Memphis to their current destination, Virginia Tech and Florida State. And before Fuente got it first, Memphis was just treading water. My boy T-Bone Tommy West was the coach. Remember, Tommy was once the Clemson coach. And Tommy played back in the early 70s at Tennessee. He's from Gainesville, Georgia, if you want the exact location. Anyways, when it ended at Memphis, remember, he had the press conference. And it was quite emotional. He said, here's the deal. I'll pull for the next guy. But Memphis has got to put something into this. You've got to invest in it. You've got to want to win. And you can't just sit still and make it win. You've got to put something into it. Please do it. And Fuente comes in there and he wins. And Memphis looks like they're more devoted to it. And then he gets the job at Virginia Tech. Norvell takes over. He wins. he gets the Florida State job, and now Ryan Silverfield, and I know Coach Silverfield too. He was the offensive line coach originally. He now heads up Memphis, and they're doing pretty well. Just beat Mississippi State. Now, again, you may certainly bring up the fact that there was a bad call, SEC officiating, in the Liberty Bowl that aided in Memphis's win. But, again, nice win for them, regardless of the controversy there. But what happens to the coaches once they get to the place, the destination where there's a brand and there's history and there's winning you can point to, and it doesn't work out? What happens? Couple things. And Florida State, Virginia Tech, a little bit different. Got to remember, Virginia Tech initially got to the ACC championship game with average Joe Fuente. And they played what was that game, like 38-35? It was a good game. The thinking was Virginia Tech would build from there, and it has not happened. It's kind of eroded from there. Now, at Florida State, Norvell walked into a total, absolute, just barren wasteland. The talent level, very, very putrid. A fan base that's lethargic at best. You know, Allen goes to those games and puts a lot of money into it. But the average fan is beat down. Allen's not happy either. I mean, I'm not suggesting he is. He's very down on the program, rightfully so. Jimmy Jupiter, all the Florida State fans. And Norvell's trying to dig out of that. Now, am I saying for sure he'll get them to the promised land? Well, we don't know that. But I don't think you can get into this habit. And Julia just sent out a tweet from Atlanta about this. You can't do what Tennessee's doing. Just running through coach after coach after coach. You do not want to get in that vicious cycle. And you don't run a guy in year two after you just ran a guy in year two. Now, I can't make any promises. It doesn't look very good right now in Florida State. But you got to stick with it a little bit. And that means more than a couple of years. And see it out. Maybe at the end it isn't fixed. It might not be. No, it might not be. But I don't think, unless somebody who you know is a sure thing sends you a message privately and says, I'll take that gig. And there's not anybody like that. The only sure things out there are Nick Saban and Urban Meyer. And I'm talking about college football, not Jacksonville in the NFL. I'm talking about college football. There's other good coaches out there, but they're no sure things. Not at all. So I think you have to, regardless of how painful it is, I think you have to stick this one out a little bit. And again, if it's just simply paying him off, you'd owe him about $15-16 million. Johnny Vegas reminds me, and I'm glad he did. That might have slipped by me again. He said, Bill, at the top of the hour when Blake Ruffino comes in, do not forget to ask about Arch Manning. I've skipped over these last several weeks, not asked him about that because he went to one of his games. And he sent me some pictures from it. I never asked him what he thought about it. I got to go there. Noel Fan in the 863. Bill Norvell walked into a shite show. Then COVID hit. No spring. Affected recruiting. He's recruited pretty well so far this year. Got to give him time. Only been a year and a half, really. I mean, I agree with you. I think right now you have to stick with it. Johnny Vegas points out that Pick Six Previews tweet from the other day where he said 30 years ago, Florida actually went to the Carrier Dome, played Syracuse. That was 1991. I told you I remember that game because I was in Baton Rouge and it was a Vanderbilt LSU. I was sent down there for that game, a TV game. And I remember the LSU game was a night game. and the Florida-Syracuse game was a day game, so I remember sitting in the bar at the hotel in Baton Rouge watching that game. Syracuse, I'm pretty sure, beat them that day. Early Steve Spurrier. I remember that game pretty vividly. Anyways, there's the music. We'll take the break. Blake Ruffino when we continue, and Brian Driscoll, top of hour number three. Talk a little Notre Dame, Wisconsin. Omni Nashville Hotel.